welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths, to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
In human society, most people want to be led. The majority of mankind prefers to let others make the hard decisions for them. Many people choose the easy path of simply accepting what others in positions of authority tell them. To use biblical language, today's author notes, human beings are like sheep, with the mob instinct that compels them to follow any Pied Piper. As long as he plays a pleasant tune, they will submit themselves to his will and fall prey to his wishes. The reverse side of this odd behavior in human society is the sobering fact that a few among us find enormous attraction in the roles of leadership. It is the path to power, to prestige, and to personal prominence. This is true whether in politics, business, education, athletics, or religion. In every area of human activity, there can be found an arena of self-aggrandizement for the one eager to lead. Therein lies the great peril. Few people seem to realize how quickly an ambitious individual can come to power. They seem baffled by the meteoric rise of aggressive persons to positions of prominence. They are often totally dazzled by the display and are ultimately deluded by the self-indulgence of the leader, unless, of course, it be an unusual person of great benevolence. Such are rare indeed. The net result is that in many instances, the leader, instead of serving others in humility, is in truth serving his or her own interests. In vivid contrast to this, Christ himself stated clearly, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." In Matthew 20:20-28, our Lord was even more forthright about this matter when he stated dramatically, "Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." This was a difficult concept for his followers to grasp in a society where greatness was always equated with power, greed, prestige, and personal gain. Across the centuries, since Christ came along in human form as a servant, men and women of all creeds have had to examine their motives for ministry in light of his humility and other self-denial. Why do they serve at all? It is a question of extreme importance. And while many stay glued to their TVs every night, questioning the motives of our local, state, and national leaders, many take for granted the leadership in our churches. Failing to hold accountable our spiritual leaders for the truth or lack of truth they speak. Yet today's author asserts the greatest threat to the Church of Jesus Christ today is not from without, but from our own leadership within. He asks, are our leaders guiding us to an authentic relationship with Christ, or are many merely providing balm for everyday life? Why are we hearing less and less of the true gospel? Are we neglecting the unsaved and failing to provide answers for Christians living discontented lives? How deeply committed are we to proclaiming God's truth and adhering to His commands? In the face of today's spiritual perils, W. Philip Keller presses every Christian layperson to examine the state of the Christian church and depend upon Christ alone in his book, Predators in Our Pulpits. So come be a part as Keller presents to us, the body of Christ, a compelling call to follow Christ in these perilous times. This little book is an earnest word of warning addressed to the children of God worldwide. It comes from a common man to the common people, in all sorts of groups and congregations scattered everywhere across the earth. Its theme and thrust is not new or novel. There have always been false prophets among those who pose as leaders of God's people. From ancient times, God has cried out against the so-called under-shepherds who plundered and ravaged his people. Always, in every generation, there have been insidious impostors who, pretending to be true shepherds, were in fact predators in disguise. In cunning craftiness, they pose as legitimate leaders, while at the same time tearing to pieces God's flock. Our greatest danger of destruction, Keller declares, is not from outside forces arrayed against Christians, but from the counterfeits who mislead their followers within the flock. We are being preyed upon, and many don't even know it. Because of the rather unique and unusual pattern of Keller's own spiritual saga, which exposed him to the work of God throughout the world in a wide variety of denominations, he has seen this peril firsthand. The tardiness with which he was delayed in committing his life fully to Christ was in part because of the false teaching he received from some leaders who preyed on his searching soul. His spirit hungered and thirsted for God with burning intensity. Yet more often than not, men in the pulpit led him only to empty stalls and dried, broken cisterns. What was true for him has likewise been a tragic story of millions of other earnest, seeking people in the pews. And as he entered the twilight years of his life, a burden of intercessory prayer for leaders everywhere in the church was laid upon his heart. Increasingly, one salient conviction became clear by the instruction of God's Spirit. If there is to be a spiritual awakening in the pew, it must first begin in the pulpit. For a number of years, there was a growing inner compulsion for him to cry out to his own generation about this peril in our pulpits. Very often, when the concerns were shared with others, the response was less than encouraging, Keller reveals. Some stated rather bluntly that such a note of alarm was too negative, too disturbing, perhaps even too divisive. This certainly was not what Keller intended, quite the opposite. He wrote this book to alert God's people, to call them to action, to awaken them before they are consumed. It should be pointed out that this book is essentially a plea to lay people, from an ordinary layman. It is written in layman's language, so the average person in the pew can grasp this message with clarity. It makes no pretense of being a profound, scholarly work. It is not intended to intimidate professional clergy, some of whom are bound to read it. But it is hoped that they will be honest enough to examine their own motives and messages in light of its themes. It would have been easier not to pen these lines, for it is well stated. Prophets are praised when they are dead, but they are persecuted while they are alive. This work is not intended to arouse conflict or controversy. It is commissioned rather by God's Spirit for men and women to examine their own life and the life of their Christian group before God. In this connection, a brief comment needs to be made about the phrase, predators in our pulpits. Modern-day pulpits take many forms. They are much more than just the podium in the church sanctuary. There are television programs, radio broadcasts, publishing houses, printing presses, home Bible study groups, church retreats, evangelistic campaigns, and other church-related activities. In scores of places, and in thousands of different places, all forms of people are provided with a platform or pulpit from which to promulgate their ideas and exert their leadership. No matter how far-ranging their influence or how small their following, the question which must always be asked is, are these leaders authentic under-shepherds, or are they predators preying on people? Of course, Keller understands many common people really have no way of knowing. In their trusting simplicity, they are being led astray by the very teachers whom they assume are instructing them in the truth. We look to them for life while being led to the slaughter, or at least to impotence. The stark truth is that multitudes are being deluded to believe a lie. They are being deceived by the very ones they thought only had their best interests in mind. There has been an insidious infiltration of the church by men and women whose work and words spell its destruction. Despite all the grandiose claims made in recent years about the condition of the church worldwide, The fact remains that God's people are in reality still only a little flock. Our Lord stated categorically that there would be few who would find His way or would faithfully follow in His footsteps. It has always been so. Part of the reason so many stumble on the broad road to destruction is simply that they have been led there by false teachers and perilous preachers. Perhaps by reading this book with an open mind and sensitive spirit, some will be spared from that terrible end. For Keller's part, this message goes out with the earnest prayer that our Father will use it to preserve His people among their peril in these darkening days. The book has two distinctive parts to it. The first half serves as a simple guide by which an ordinary layperson can determine to some degree whether or not his or her spiritual leader is in truth one of those people called of God to be an under-shepherd to Christ. Part 1 helps the common man to put spiritual values into the proper perspective from God's viewpoint. If read carefully, it is bound to raise some hard questions about leadership among Christians. It is intended to provide clear guidelines by which the actions and ministry of leaders may be assessed. The second half of the book provides the very basic demands made by the Master upon anyone who may wish to follow Him. Part 2 is a very simple, categorical statement of what it costs to be a Christian in our contemporary society. This aspect of the Christian's life is scarcely mentioned today in the church, simply because most ministers are afraid it will alienate their people and diminish their following. Contrary to what most might consider a negative emphasis, Keller states that this is, in truth, the most positive appeal for a lofty life of loyalty and love of Christ. It is a clarion call for total commitment to His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many false teachers and profane prophets are abroad in our culture. Christ warned us emphatically that this would be the case. We live in an affluent age of great danger. Only as we are alert can we avert the wiles of those who would prey on us. We must begin by asking anyone in Christian leadership the hard and searching question: why are you in this role? Is it for personal advancement, or is it to please God and bring benefits to others? It demands enormous inner integrity to answer this question with open honesty, Keller explains. The clear and uncluttered answer will quickly help to decide whether the leader is indeed one called of Christ to be an under-shepherd to His people, or is merely a charlatan. The lay people in any group are fully entitled to know the underlying motives which have moved their leaders into positions of prominence. They should not be afraid to ask the hard questions. The second serious aspect of this matter, Keller warns, is that people tend to put their pastors and leaders on a pedestal. Simply because an individual places himself in a position of prominence, he is often treated with adulation not deserved. It is one thing for a person to know assuredly that he has been set apart for service to the Most High, to know that he has been fed with the message from the Lord for His people, to know that this is the Word of God, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which will draw all wayward men and women to Christ. It is quite another matter to merely take up a pastoral role as a convenient career that panders to one's own personal tastes or ambitions. The distinction between these two roles is to be measured not in the numbers of those who may or may not be influenced by the speaker. Rather, the difference lies in whether the message delivered is indeed from God and bears the ring of truth and the stamp of His approval. In ancient times, if the word of the prophet did not come to pass, he was put to death for his deceit. In our soft society today, almost any charlatan can attract a crowd and be applauded for his or her popularity, no matter how corrupt the pronouncements may be. There are two important criteria by which the true man of God may be discerned. The first is that his message is in keeping with the Scripture and not contrary to the clear commands of Christ. The second is that he comes to his people with great humility of heart and sensitivity to the guidance of God's gracious Spirit. He does not promulgate his own personal views or parade himself with an aura of prestige or power. If there is to be a demonstration of power among God's people, it should not pander to the personal vanity and pride of the leader. The Word of God itself is spirit and is truth. Christ Himself is that Word incarnate. It is He who redeems us, justifies us, recreates us, enlivens us with His own presence, and calls us to His own. To Him all honor is due. There is another serious aspect to Christian service not clearly understood by the common people, Keller warns, and that is the whole matter of accountability. If indeed a leader is a genuine man or woman of God, they will have a keen sense of dual responsibility both to the Lord and to those whom they have been called to serve. The Scriptures make it very clear that the three main duties of an under-shepherd are to feed the flock with spiritual substance, to pray for them in compassion and loving concern, and to rescue the lost and wandering ones, protecting them from falling prey to predators. To carry out these responsibilities properly, Keller proclaims, demands a high degree of daily self-discipline. Time simply must be set apart to commune with Christ, to meditate over His Word, to receive a message directly from the Father above for His people on earth. Unless the leader has been touched with truth in his own spirit, it is most unlikely that his message can ever inspire, uplift, or enlighten others in any eternal way that will endure. Precisely the same principle applies to private prayer, Keller cautions. If our Lord, when He was on earth, found it imperative to spend hours alone in prayer with His Father, how much more should this be true of our human leaders? They must be those who know God, who enjoy His intimacy, who can call on Him with calm confidence at any time. These activities are much more important than any other in which the minister may engage. There is no substitute for them. It takes time, much time alone with God, in order to serve His people well. The tragic truth is that some leaders in our pulpits do not do this because no one supervises their private lives. Others, because the church body expects the pastor to be continually busy with activities, often frowning on anything they might deem as excessive quiet time. A person's position of leadership, no matter how prominent or obscure, must be one whose very life is grounded in God Himself. The energy and vitality and love to reach the lost must come from Christ's residence within that individual. Any action taken and any decisions made should be under the clear direction of God's Spirit. It simply will not do to use one's own charm, talents, or elaborate techniques to try and accomplish God's work in the world. And so lay people are entitled to see the very life of Christ in their leaders. Positive proof that one in the pulpit is sent from God lies not only in his humility, compassion, and communion with Christ, but also in the calm courage of his character. A leader must be one who is utterly fearless for God, not in an overbearing or dictatorial manner, but rather in relentless loyalty and love for the master. A true leader will not pander to the selfish interests of his hearers. He will not accommodate his message to the corruption of his culture. He will be above the petty politics among the congregation. He will stand solidly on the truth revealed to him in God's Word. He will not dilute or diminish the noble demands made by God for calling out His people. Nor will he hesitate to confront the wrong in his community without flinching. This is no easy assignment, Keller reminds us. It calls for enormous faith in God, as well as great fortitude in personal conduct. At times it may make one exceedingly unpopular with certain elements in society. But this should be so. If the truth is proclaimed with the anointing of God's gracious Spirit, it is bound to polarize people. Christ Himself stated categorically, "Either you are for me or you are against me." The people in the pews are entitled to look for unflinching faithfulness to God and to His Word in the life and language of their leaders. If they are to follow with surety, then they must be led with steadfast courage and vision. The leader's role is not to make people comfortable. He is not there to pander to the petty preferences of the people. He is there to proclaim the whole counsel of God. He is there to declare eternal truth. He is there to call men and women to Christ. Far too many contemporary churches and mission organizations, Keller reports, do not seek such leadership. Instead, they place undue importance upon personal charm, eloquent speech, academic credentials, and organizational ability. It is almost as if they were advertising for a business executive to run a commercial corporation rather than searching for God's spokesman. Little wonder that they frequently end up with predators in their pulpits. The end result may well be a slick and smooth success by worldly standards, but this does not mean that the great purposes of God's people have been achieved. Often all that is accomplished is the consolidation of another social club where people come for food, fun, and fellowship. God's work in the world is not advanced, but the people are deluded to believe the opposite. They have been deceived. A genuine man or woman of God does not try to come to an easy accommodation with our decadent society. At great personal cost and at risk of being very unpopular, they will dare to be a voice in the wilderness, a prophet to their generation, calling people to repentance. They will seek the lost mired in sin. They will warn them to turn from their wicked ways. They will go out with tears and come in with gladness, bringing some who were astray home to the Master. Such a leader is not intimidated by his contemporaries. He is called of God to noble service, and he does not draw back from his duties. His people cannot muzzle him, the world cannot silence his message, and the enemy trembles, for he is a man of truth. Nor does he deliver them into the false belief that it is easy to be the Master's child. He will urge his fellow pilgrims to count the cost of following Christ. He will enable them to see what a glorious honor it is to be the child of the Most High. I hope this small glimpse into predators in our pulpits will inspire you to take up Keller's call and not sit idly by and accept in spiritual blindness anyone who proclaims to speak with the authority of God just because they hold a leadership position, are popular, or particularly persuasive. We are not free to abdicate our responsibility as a child of God to grow wise in God's word. We should trust, but verify based on God's own word, those leaders whom we would follow and whose counsel we would seek. Again, this simple guide will help each of us to determine whether or not a spiritual leader in our life is in truth one of those called of God, and will provide clear guidelines by which the actions in the ministry of our leaders may be assessed. And just as important is the section of this book which details the role of the Christian and the cost of following Christ, especially in today's contemporary society. Predators in Our Pulpits, A Compelling Call to Follow Christ in Perilous Times by W. Philip Keller can be found online and is currently available in paperback. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. And just because a book is recommended doesn't mean that all writings and teachings by an author are recommended. Remember, you, the reader, must always read with discernment. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian sources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of sharing hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.